I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We definitely want to continue having our discussion about MP3s and so on and so forth. When you hear somebody hang up, if you've got a burning computer question, or if you are digitally inclined, you can go to our website and submit a question through email. We kind of look at them as we can throughout the broadcast and pull up the ones that we think we can help folks with. One of the things I want to warn you about is a very, very cleverly crafted email is making the rounds. That is a phishing scam. P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing, where they're trying to get you to give up your personal information. It's a very convincing-looking email that makes it look like it's from a National Federal Credit Union organization saying that there's been some security issues, yada, yada, yada. They've got a ton of content in there. It looks very official. It's a scam, folks. Don't fall for it.
Most of the bank ones you're going to see these days are scams.
Virtually nothing you're going to get from the banks will ever ask you to do anything online. And even if you do get that, and even if you think it's legitimate, don't click on the links in the email. Don't go to the website that they're saying to go to. Call your bank and say, is this legitimate? Is this for real? Because they're going to go, huh?
And if you don't do online banking, don't even waste your time. And if you do online banking, go to your regular site the way you normally go, not by following the email's instructions.
Yeah.
And if none of the stuff is there that they're telling you is there, then don't waste your time.
And you know what? I think I'm going to start a new segment, too, on the new spam of the week.
The new spam scam of the week?
Well, not necessarily a scam, but just the new spam. You know, because not, you know, for instance, this yesterday I got my very first spam message encouraging me to take pregnant yoga.
You got your first spam message? Welcome to the spam world, Ken Colburn.
Encouraging me to take pregnant yoga.
Oh, it's just your first one for pregnant yoga.
Yeah.
How do you know it's spam? How do you know you didn't sign up for that?
I'm pretty certain I'm not in that target demographic.
I bet you if you scrolled to the bottom, it would tell you that they only sent this to people who signed up. And so if you were by mistake you signed up, you know, they gave you removal instructions. But I bet you signed up for
that. I haven't been in that loop for, 12 years now. So I don't think so.
All right.
Let's take up our discussion with Paul once again, who is a fairly new music connoisseur, internet digital music connoisseur, and has some confusion about what is and what is not. Let's call it legal or appropriate or whatever. So, Paul, first of all, somebody introduced you to this LimeWire network, correct?
Yeah, I was asking around to see what someone would suggest so I can get some music.
And they probably said, just go to this place and it's cool because it's all free.
Yep.
And you did it and you thought, wow, this is kind of cool.
Yes.
And you start downloading music. And then you got an ad that said, you know, for $20...
you can make it faster and better and even more music.
Well, while during the downloading process, it would have like the LimeWire Pro flashing, and it said you could speed up I forgot what to call it now, because you have different levels of, I guess, speed or,
sure,
or whatever they're doing, and if you got the, if you paid for it, your speed would be at tops at all times.
Sure, you get priority service.
Or something.
Yeah, and how's that working for you?
That hasn't worked. It cost me $20 and perhaps even a molestation of my bank account.
Yeah, which is not – that could cost you a whole lot more. See, when you're dealing with shady people that do shady things and then you give them your personal information and your money, expect that other things like that can happen. By the way, we did a identity theft episode of this show some months ago. All of the resources are still linked up there, including a place for you to do free checkups of your credit rating.
Right.
So go back and dig through our archives and get some of that information if you think that you're in that situation.
We might have to do that show again soon.
Yeah, no kidding. So basically what you want to tell people is don't fall for that $20 trick.
Right.
And truly, I mean, the only legitimate commercial music downloads are companies like iTunes. Believe it or not, now Napster is a legitimate pay service.
The least expensive places I know of where you can legitimately download the commercial music that everybody really wants, it's going to be places like iTunes, like Napster, like Walmart.com.
Yeah, they actually are the cheapest. Walmart is.
Walmart, I think, is the least expensive, which is no big surprise. And they charge a per song download. That's how you're going to know also when you're getting into places that are going to get you not just legal music, but legal music that you actually care about, meaning commercially available legal music. There are sites out there where you pay a monthly or an annual fee and it's all you can eat. But most of the artists that are going to be there, if they're doing it legally, are not going to be artists you've heard of before.
Oh, no. They actually have an all-you-can-eat program. What they don't tell you, though, is you're actually renting the music. So the minute you stop, so you pay a monthly fee, and as long as you're paying that fee, you can listen to all the music you've downloaded. The minute you stop paying that fee, all that stuff you've downloaded for whatever period of time, you no longer have use of. So it's real confusing, and that's why I wanted to really spend a lot of time on this. iTunes, Walmart, Napster, Rhapsody, there's a bunch of the top ones. Top systems, and we've got a list of the most common legitimate ones there, and we can add maybe a follow up in our newsletter for this show. We'll add the list of shows that where the companies that we feel are appropriate. Or if you want to dig back through our free, if you look at free computer help, free help section of the Data Doctors website, and look back through my columns, about 6 months ago, I wrote a whole column on how to tell the difference between legitimate and kind of borderline music services, and it lists out links to all the ones that we know for sure are legitimate. Now, the question you asked, though, before we went to break was how do they get away with giving this software, selling this software, but not get in trouble with the authorities, right?
Right.
Well, it's like, and I told you off the air, it's like the guys that sell a hammer or a nail gun or any of those construction devices. They can be used for building a house or they can be used to hurt somebody. Either case, because the intention of the thing was not illegal, that's their ability to kind of hide behind the law, if you will. Because they're not saying, this is what they call a file sharing program. So at its root level, any two people on the internet can share any file. And it doesn't have to be music. It can be video. It can be my kid's football game. It could be a picture. It could be anything. And so because those are all legitimate, legal file sharing processes, then that's what they're saying is that's what it's intended for. Now, if you use it for something illegal, well, we can't control that. And it's, you know, it's a bunch of hokey stuff because they know exactly why people are using this. And what they're looking for is as many people as possible to join their network. A percentage of them, you know, if they've got 60 million people and they get 1% to pay them $20.
That's some mass cash. Yeah.
Do the math. Yeah. And then all those ads and the pop-ups and see what people don't realize when they install LimeWire. Not only is it installing the program, it's installing a bunch of other junk, spyware, adware, and it's putting itself in first position in your computer, which causes your machine to take longer to start up in the morning. And all day long, your internet access is being used by others, and it actually changes, you know, like if you're surfing ESPN or CNN or something, and you've got LimeWire running, somebody else is downloading a file from your machine, you don't realize it, they're stealing your bandwidth, and your internet connection is going to be slower all day long. So there's multiple reasons why services like this really don't make any sense.
Talking about adware and spyware, I also have a question about spyware, Doctor.
Not familiar with it.
Never heard of it, but there's billion programs out there that we've never heard of like that.
It's so bad out there that anybody that can write code has created a spyware program.
I paid for that one, too. That was like $30, I think.
And how'd that work for you?
Well, it seemed to secure my infections or whatever it was, but I'm just not I'm not very computer literate. I'm just
well. Here's what we do all day long for our customers. The best spyware programs are not only able to clean up, but also able to prevent, kind of block out, and kind of immunize your system.
Right.
The one that we use that's commercially available in our stores, the ones that we install in our customers' systems,
is SpySweeper, put out by a company called Webroot. It's probably the best one-size-fits-all spyware, adware removal, and then more than that, prevention and preventative kind of maintenance stuff that prevents this stuff from coming in the first place. And so, I said that really, really eloquently.
Yeah. It knows the most common exploits and goes out there and helps try to block it. Also, if you go to our website, datadoctors.com, you'll see an approved software section. you'll click on there. There's links to some free spyware and adware programs as well, so you can use that combination. It's usually this is one of the few areas when it comes to utilities for Windows where more is better. Usually, like, two firewalls is not better. Two antivirus programs is not better. Multiple spyware programs, typically, all of them kind of specialize in some little area, so it's not bad to have multiples. But if you're going to buy one spyware, or excuse me. Go ahead, get it.
Spy Sweeper. That's the only one out there that I would probably pay money for. There's a bunch of free ones that do a decent job, but the kind of the best one-size-fits-all that we've found is the Spy Sweeper program by Webroot.
All right, Paul?
I appreciate you guys' help.
Hey, good luck out there, and put away your pirate gear.
Arr!
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks a lot.
Paul Blackbeard from... It's really, you know what, we had a lot of fun with it when Napster was kind of in its heyday, and we made a lot of fun of these things. But truly, folks, do it the right way. And if you have CDs, you don't have to buy them over again. Go to any of the stores, datadoctors.com/music. You couldn't possibly want to pass this free offer up.
Probably not.
Check it out. Who are we up with?
We got Lance in Phoenix who has some kind of music needs.
Lance, welcome to the Computer Corner. How may we be of assistance?
I'm going to actually take a little side route really quickly and ask you, since the last guy's question was about spyware and stuff, what do you guys think about the beta stuff that Microsoft is offering for downloading on their webpage?
Again, it's one of those free ones that you can use in conjunction with others. We've not found it to be, you know, it's adequate, but it's not the best.
Yeah, just curious. It actually found some stuff that none of the other stuff that I was looking for found. But
and that's typically the case. All of them will tend to find these little things. So some of them kind of concentrate on other areas that the primary ones don't.
I found the Microsoft one for somebody who's fairly technical to be very good. But if you're not, it finds things that aren't really spyware and adware. For example, I have a program on my computer that allows me to connect to it from other computers on the internet. And it told me that was spyware. And obviously it's not. It's something I purposely installed. I know quite a bit about the program.
You're talking VNC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it calls that spyware. And if I wasn't somebody that technically knew what was going on, I might think, oh, wow, I've got a bad piece of software.
When get rid of it.
Really, that's not a bad piece of software at all.
I gotcha. So my question about MP3s and all that fun stuff is I spent, a day, and I only got 20 of my 100-plus CD collection.
A day? You spent a full day and you got 20?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because here's the thing. In a perfect world, it takes 7 to 10 minutes. But everyone has scratched the discs and stuff like that. So all of a sudden, of 12 songs, you get 4 of them that were not encrypted. Or there was bad tracks, or they just couldn't read it off the disc.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, is there like a service out there to register your discs where instead of encrypting it and downloading an MP3 format, you just basically put it in, they look at the headers, verify that you have the disk, register it in your own personal database, and then if they have it in their database, you know, legally...
You can play it, yeah. Actually, there was a company that attempted that a while back. Major loophole, though.
And it's probably the same loophole that if you burn it, and that's that...
Yeah, I mean,
take your friend's disc.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm registered with them, and that's so it's no different. And the record industry said, no thanks, no mas.
Gotcha. Yeah, and actually, I think the way it's written on the back of the CDs, like the licensing for it is,
yes.
As long as you have the disc, you can do this. But
yeah, exactly. Now, here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
Get into the habit, when you buy a new CD, immediately make a digital copy of it onto your jukebox and your computer.
Which is very, very legal. Some people think it's not.
Having kids in the house... Let me tell you, it's because those CDs don't necessarily get treated the way they need to, and they're certainly not going to last more than a year or two under normal child usage.
Right.
So if you start doing that, see, the problem is now you got this huge library that you want to get converted. And again, that's why this service that we're hooking up with makes the most sense for us is because it's very inexpensive per disk. It's done at a much higher rate, much more professional, and it's ready to go. You don't have to deal with it.
Now, what about disks that are unreadable? Say I bring 25 of my worst disks down to you guys.
They actually will clean the CDs, do the best they can to resurrect them first, and actually will send you an email during the process to let you know the disks that they're not going to be able to convert.
Okay, no, I got you. That's
You know what? We went through this because we were, you know, first when they approached us, it was like, yeah, well, and then they went through all of it. It's a very high-quality operation backed by some very legitimate folks that have been in this Phoenix market and in the high-tech industry for a long, long time. And they have this crazy machine that does all this stuff. And you know, we spent probably 3 months really kind of figuring all this stuff out and making sure we understood it before we put our name with the service. And what we've heard from all of the people we've talked to about it is like, oh, yeah, it's like one of those, duh, yeah, that'd be a great service.
If your CD's broken in half or if it's got an actual crack in it, I wouldn't expect miracles.
Super glue.
But if it's got some
industry.
If it's got some normal kind of wear, scratches and things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of those they can convert without a problem.
Since we're on that, Lance, let's go back to our previous lessons about caring for CDs. Most people think that the side that's got no writing on it, that's the delicate side that you got to really protect. It's actually the label side, because if any part of the label gets scratched off, the backside of the label is actually where your music resides, and it's gone. So, folks, take care of that. Take care of both sides. But if a lot of people will slap the CDs down on the desk or the table on the, with the
upside down.
Well, the label side up, because they want to make sure that you know that it's protected or whatever. But just remember, the label side is the delicate side. Take care of that.
Well, you had the best idea yet. Make a copy the day you buy it, put the original away somewhere, and use that copy until it dies, and then you make a new copy and keep going.
Much more gooder.
Yeah, but this is the problem is you got all those 70s, 60s, 80s CDs that you bought in the 90s that are now up to 10 years old.
Yeah.
And they're some of them are in pretty bad shape.
Well, they'll do their best to clean it up for you. And again, what do you got to lose? It's free.
Gotcha. So while we're on this topic, what direction would you point guys towards in reference to there's a question, should you burn rip CDs on a DVD player? Should you rip them on your CD writer? What's the best drive out there for actually getting good reads off of bad discs?
It has nothing to do with the disc quality is going to have everything to do with it. So,
tell you what, I got an idea. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about, I think there's a company, and I'll go research really quick. There's a company that can actually resurface discs.
Yes.
You have some ones you really, really care about, and they're really bad.
The CD Repairman.
Yeah, and they're here locally in town somewhere. So we'll look them up, find their information, and we'll put that out on the airwaves to y'all.
All right.
Hope that helps you out there. Lance, Chad, you can grab and see if he has anything else. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls and questions at 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Ken and Brandon back right after this.